do this. This is Pure Decking Show number 216 for April 28th, 2016. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and thinking up new ways to piss off the government using just your cell phone. I'm Morps.
I expose people to magic.
And tonight I have Ari Frey. Ari, what are you drinking?
Well, currently I'm drinking a patented glass of Are You's Harden the Fuck Up water. Take 12 kids that you've liberated from a primary school, stick them in a room, play Mein Kampf back to back until they start associating and calling you daddy. See the glass of water, what's left in it that hasn't evaporated is the hardest fucking water you'll ever drink. Take a glass, Are You's Harden the Fuck Up water, patented here in Australia only.
Madman, I'm drinking Newcastle. Madman, what are you drinking?
Billions Irish Red.
Excellent choice. Excellent. Well, decent choice.
It's okay choice.
We're going to continue to downplay it till we're comparing it to Pabst Blue Ribbon. BSV, what are you drinking?
The Souls of the Slain Undead.
Quit playing Dark Souls. We're doing a show.
Hello, but it's Dark Souls, my old friend.
I've come to speak with you again.
Hush now, please.
And finally, we have the Static. Static, are you regretting doing this show yet?
No, I haven't drank enough yet, so we'll see here in a moment. But I have the original Sailor Jersey Spiced Caribbean Rum.
Nice. Very nice.
And if that isn't enough, I got Gentleman's Jack as a backup, so.
Well, you know.
Fuck me.
No.
Why? Know what? Never mind. I don't want to know.
Yeah, just keep going, dude. I'm doing my thing here.
All right. So, I am so fucked up. So for those of you playing the home game, I gave out one of the Digital Dojo links a little bit early because I was informed that the show was becoming a little bit too depressing. And, well, this is totally screwed up as now everybody's having too much fun with the Digital Dojo link. Unfortunately, for those of you playing the home game, you have to wait till we get there in the show. So, first, I thought we'd have some fun talking about this one. It's from The Intercept. Don't really much care for The Intercept, but that's where the article is. The director of the National Intelligence... let's try this again. The director of National Intelligence on Monday blamed NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden for advancing the development of user-friendly, widely available strong encryption. As a result of the Snowden revelations, the onset of commercial encryption has accelerated by 7 years, James Clapper said during a breakfast for journalists hosted by the Christian Science Monitor. The short timeline has... Say that again, are you?
Christian Science Monitor.
That's what the article says.
Yeah, just mull it over in your head. Christian Science Monitor. Sorry.
Is that not a screen where you watch Christians perform science?
I, sorry, oxymoron.
The shortened timeline has had a profound effect. Okay, so let me, before I go any further here, let me explain why I'm talking about this article, because a lot of the Snowden stuff has been hyped up. It's kind of gotten bullshit. This has nothing to do with the actual Snowden revelations themselves. It has to do with people's reactions to it and why that matters. You know, it has nothing to do with what he actually leaked. It's the fact that he leaked all this shit and got everyone all hyped up about the government monitoring you, right? So, you know, whether or not there's truth to his revelations or you disagree with it, this is about reactions. When pressed by The Intercept to explain his figure, Clapper said it came from the National Security Agency. The projected growth, maturation, and installation of commercially available encryption, what they had forecasted 7 years ahead 3 years ago, was accelerated to now because of the revelation of the leaks. asked if that was a good thing, leading to better protection for American consumers from the arms race of hackers constantly trying to penetrate software worldwide. Clapper said no. If from our standpoint, it's not a good thing, he said. Technologists have been tirelessly working to strengthen encryption for decades, not just the past few years, but Snowden's revelations about the pervasiveness of mass surveillance clearly accelerated its more widespread availability. And technologists say the threat of law enforcement going dark has been overhyped. For example, there are almost always ways to hack around encryption, even if you can't break it. Clapper acknowledged there's no such thing as unbreakable encryption from his perspective in the history of mankind. Since we've been doing signals intelligence, there's no such thing given proper time and proper application of technology. So, the takeaway here is, because people reacted so strongly to Snowden, the market responded to the demand for people wanting to try to prevent their stuff from being snooped on. Granted, what are most people communicating back and forth? It's, stupid little texts, smileys, and dick pics. let's be honest, that's what most people are sending across their phones, right? But yeah. Then you have legitimate business and people doing purchases on Amazon and shit like that, where crypto is actually a very, very good thing. And because as much as it might thwart the government, it's thwarting people from stealing your shit. you ever looked at what it takes to do credit fraud? It isn't that much. So anything you can do to slow that down is a good thing. Does anybody have any opinion on the NSA saying this advanced in crypto by or advanced the adoption of crypto by 7 years?
I don't think it's advanced it by that much.
I don't know where they got the 7 years number.
I think they just
every project I know of for free encryption, and granted, I'm getting my information from NPR and Morpse's show notes, but they were working on it prior to the Snowden revelations.
Oh, sure. PGP has been a thing for, 15 years? I mean...
And honestly, I think Sony being hacked, Target being hacked, and the mandate of your medical records must be electronic were all much better reasons to push encryption than Snowden.
Cool. All this is them just saying... Oh, poor us, you screwed us over.
They're just trying to nail Snowden for more shit he didn't do.
Yep.
Well, it's
keeping his name in the forefront of everything bad digitally that goes wrong with America, in the forefront of people's minds. So, it's not the government or the NSA fucking up, Snowden fucked it up. Yeah. It's just keeping people publicly aware about the digital branding they've put on the face of internet fucking terror, which is Edward Snowden. And not to forget Miss Manning, who's, is that the correct terminology now?
I have no idea. I don't know what, he was in the military, never mind. I was going to say,
pronouns.
Whatever.
The correct pronoun is he. Shoving feathers up your ass doesn't make you a chicken. And he actually broke the law.
At the time the law was broken, he was going as a man. So I'm going to say he broke the law. But, and the fact that he's trying to change genders in prison, whatever. But,
you got 25 years to kill. I'm getting a set of tits installed. You know what I mean?
Okay, fair enough. But, and that everybody going after Assange for WikiLeaks, Assange didn't actually break the law. Manning did. Whereas with Snowden, he would have broken the contractual agreements for working for the NSA.
And I'm blaming social justice worries for his failing health. No, that's the only reason he's stuck in there is false allegations of rape. And he knows if he goes to Sweden, he's definitely getting deported to America. I'll stand beside the man and say, I wish he could have been publicly trialed somewhere to hear the allegations out, because it's not doing him or the two women any favors of it not coming out. But he shouldn't lose his life because of an alleged rape allegation. Instead of prison time, he's going to death row. that essentially is what, I don't know if anyone else thinks that way, but well, I do.
But did Snowden get accused of rape?
No, we're talking about Assange right now.
Assange.
Assange.
Yeah. If he's forced to go to Sweden, he'll be handed over to the Americans. The Americans will put him to death for treason.
Was Assange an American citizen?
No, he's an
Australian, but he's also a convicted hacker here in Australia that did time for hitting the NASA, I think it was, during the early 90s.
I was going to say treason, like, you'd have to be a citizen to be tried for treason.
Espionage.
It'd be espionage.
Yeah. Okay, I got my wording wrong. But instead of doing a couple of years for, you know, rape or whatever in Sweden, and do you even go to jail for rape in Sweden anymore? Or is it just a misdemeanor now?
I have no idea.
There's that much of it going on.
Your religion.
Yeah. Right, so if you convert it to... No,
he has to convert to Brown or Islam.
All right, Madman will go there.
I'll go there.
And I'm meant to be the resident racist. Fuck off. Taking my job. Fucking Americans sticking their jibs.
What do you think, BSC?
About the advancement of crypto.
In any of it, man. I thought I heard you trying to come in.
Oh, no, that was probably me just bumping my mic. Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably to advance the spread of crypto, but I don't know. I have no problem with security since I don't like everything being open in the with how much is digital I guess, but
yeah, my credit card numbers, my medical history, all of that should be closed. My trolling somebody on 4chan, that's completely open to the world. Enjoy it.
Let's be really clear with what they're talking about with crypto. They are specifically talking about Apple and Google both making their phones encrypted by default. They're talking about things like WhatsApp turning on, admittedly flawed, but they're turning on encryption. You know, then of course you got people using things like Signal and Telegraph, and you know, you have at least some conscious users making efforts to lock down their stuff. And because these apps are easy to get, they're concerned that criminals and terrorists are going to just grab the off-the-shelf crypto that they can't break and use it.
And, like, they wouldn't get the crypto of the already if they needed it.
Well,
just because
it.
Something's more available doesn't mean criminals haven't heard of it before.
We've had fairly good crypto for years now. It's math. The only reason, and you know, this is why you hear on SSL them constantly talking about moving up the required key length on your certificates. It's not that the crypto has been broken. It's just you've got to add more numbers to crack. Of course, each number makes it exponentially harder, but that's not the point. Because eventually, computer power catches up not to break the crypto, but to brute force it. In other words, if you took, you know, say SSL v1 or what's another good one that would be? Like DES, not triple DES, but like the old DES file encryption, you could brute that on a modern computer relatively quickly. This is why people build graphics card cracking rigs to do hash cracking, and that, you know, a modern computer can crack hashes that 5 years ago would have been impossible with, you know, the world's supercomputers, at least in a reasonable period of time. So, you know, crypto is always going to be a moving target, but we've had good crypto forever. And, you know, picking a key length that's long enough to be practical, but, or I should say, that's short enough to be practical, but long enough to not be cracked by modern hardware that is regularly available, has not been a problem for a while. It's annoying to have to get your certs reissued every once in a while. It's annoying to have to constantly move stuff up. But it's not, you know, that's not a sign of broken crypto. That's just keeping up with the times. So I guess the fact that, you know, now everyone's noticing it and you're getting all these articles about the government bitching about it, maybe it's more a sign that you know, living in a computer all day is not as weird as it used to be, and everybody's doing it.
Part of it's not just people doing it. Part of it is mandates. If our medical records have to be electronic, which they weren't until recently, I want that secure. People don't need to know what prescriptions I'm on or how I'm paying for them, which I consider more important because I don't want them stealing money.
Sure. Well, hell, I work for a financial now, and you should see the requirements I just got handed. They want. And you know, they're not even that odd, but a few years ago they would have been. I have a week to lock down all removable drive access. It's actually feasible. I'm just going to piss a lot of people off. But yeah, I mean, we were handed that today, and they're like, what? This isn't weird. Everyone does this. And my management is freaking the fuck out.
Just need to lock down USB ports.
Well, some companies have resorted to putting hot glue in the ports. Yes.
Yep, in our data centers, they did that.
One way of doing it.
Well, you can pick hot glue out, so they actually tend to use a non-conductive epoxy, but that's not the point. It looks like hot. You know that black shit they put on circuits that they don't want you to be able to figure out what chips they're running? That would be the stuff to use, because I don't know if anybody else has ever tried to remove it, but you basically need acid. Not the point. I'm just saying it's not just, you know, the government is approaching it from this concept of the citizens and their cell phones. That's what they're bitching about. But crypto's been in business for years, and you're seeing this requirement, these requirements to use it, as Mad Men fairly pointed out, coming down. I don't know where this is going to end up.
Well, the requirements aren't like that they be encrypted. The requirements are that we move to digital. And if you move to digital, you have to encrypt just to be safe. And with phones, most people phones are becoming more and more the primary internet use device. If you're going to be using your phone to do internet banking or ordering your prescriptions at Rite Aid, it has to be encrypted.
Or hell, just ordering a pizza.
Yeah, not because you don't want people to see what you don't want the government to see what you're doing, which I don't want the government to see what I'm doing, but because you don't want Mad Men to be sitting out somewhere with a laptop and some tools he found possibly from Digital Dojo, skimming around looking for open cell phones and stealing your data.
I'll show you how to do that after the show, dude. Don't worry about it.
You're lucky I'm moral. I wouldn't actually steal your data from any phones. You would just get random dick pics.
Or Oscots. Hey, big.
It's like, why is my background suddenly set as some strange man's testicles?
How would you know their testicles?
I can get a pretty good, decent image of my testicles.
Okay.
Sounds like you've been practicing.
Let me send you a link.
We're going to have some social justice warriors come in and go, how do you know it was a man's testicles?
Because testicles? Because
they come on men.
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. I've watched too much Sargon of Akkad lately.
I'm on Barrington right now, man. He shits all over Sargon.
All right, you guys want to move on to the next thing? Because I don't know where we were going with this. I just knew
we were going with
about
the
it.
The government wanted to gripe, and they did.
All right, let's move on to the next one. This is from Ars Technica. A Philadelphia man suspected of possessing child pornography has been in jail for 7 months and counting after being found in contempt of a court order demanding that he decrypt 2 password-protected hard drives. The subject, a former Philadelphia Police Department sergeant, has not been charged with any child porn crimes. Instead, he remains indefinitely imprisoned in Philadelphia's Federal Detention Center for refusing to unlock 2 drives encrypted with Apple's File Vault software in a case that once again highlights the extent to which the authorities are going to crack encrypted drives. The man is to... So he's being held in contempt of court. The man is to remain jailed until such time that he fully complies with the decryption order. The suspect's attorney, federal public defender Keith Donahue, urged a federal appeals court on Tuesday to release his client immediately, pending the outcome of appeals. Not only is he presently being held without charges, he has never in his life been charged with a crime, Donahue wrote in his brief to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. The government successfully cited a 1789 law known as the All Writs Act to compel the subject to decrypt two hard drives it believes contain child pornography. The All Writs Act was the same law the Justice Department asserted in its legal battle with Apple, in which a magistrate ordered the gadget maker to write code to assist the authorities in unlocking the iPhone used in one of the two blah 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 blah. Donahue wrote that his client's first claim is that the district court lacks subject matter justification or jurisdiction. The claim stems from the government's apparently unprecedented use of an unusual procedural vehicle to attempt to compel a subject to give evidence in advance of potential criminal charges. Specifically, the government took resort not to a grand jury but to a magistrate judge pursuant to the All Writs Act. The defense also claims that the compelling the target of a criminal investigation to reveal and divulge an encrypted passcode trenches the Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination. Supreme Court has never addressed the decryption issue, blah, 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 blah. So, basically, they're trying to pull the same crap with the All Writs Act, but they want this guy to decrypt his hard drives because they think he has child porn on them.
This is different crap. With Apple, they were compelling Apple to create something that didn't exist.
True.
With this guy, they're compelling him to release information that he supposedly has.
Also true.
I think he would have an argument if he was denying ownership of the hard drives, because then he can say, I can't give you what I do not have. But if he already has admitted ownership of the hard drive, and he has a writ to disclose the information on them, I don't see that he has a gripe. He should disclose the password. Or be held in contempt until he discloses the password.
So, I didn't finish the article, but this next to last paragraph is important. Because I know where you're going with this. I don't think this is the only evidence they have. Authorities called two witnesses. One was the suspect's sister, who claims she looked at child pornography with her brother at his house. The other was a forensic examiner who testified that it was his best guess that child pornography was on the drives, Donahue wrote. The investigation began in 2015, blah, 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 blah. So apparently they were monitoring Freenet and executed a search warrant of the man's home.
All right, so the hard drives were in his possession and in his computer?
I would assume so, yeah. It sounds like they got them from his house.
Okay.
So, the statement as lead detective on the murder case, well, it's my best guess, Your Honor, that that man did it.
The best guess I don't see is a good...
It's not an argument
winner. Probable cause to do a search, but it's nothing to convict him for in court.
Yeah, it's not an argument winner, you know?
Yeah. But his sister admitted to looking at child pornography with him at his house, and then the best guess, that's enough, I think, for a warrant. It's probable cause.
Well, that's what this case is. They were still trying to collect evidence. They used all writs to try to compel him to decrypt these two external drives, and when he refused, they held him in contempt of court, and apparently he's been in jail for, like, 7 months now because he was refusing to give up the keys to these drives. So at one point, I think there's got to be the practical argument. I mean, if you're trying to make a point, I guess, but at some point, aren't you going to, you know, cave and give up the drives if you don't have anything on them? I mean, I hate saying, okay, he's exercising his Fifth Amendment right, therefore we want to presume guilt, but I mean, that is kind of where you go, logically.
You're absolutely right. I mean, if there's nothing on it, give it up and get out of jail. Otherwise, yeah, you're guilty. So,
I mean, I hate to think that way, but I kind of do.
And again, it would be a bit different if they had nothing backing up the warrant.
Yeah.
But
what I hate... Oh, sorry, BNC, go ahead.
Oh, it's just... gonna say, because them forcefully compelling somebody to give up a password for a device they have absolutely no clue that anything's on it is a bit different than if they actually have some idea there's criminal evidence on it.
I don't think there's a difference. Either it's okay to compel someone to give up a password, or it is not.
Well, there's a difference between having a warrant or search in somebody's house and having a warrant with evidence to search a house.
Well, the argument against compelling somebody to give up a password is always the attempting to deny ownership, attempting to say, that's not my phone, that's not my drive.
Has he actually asserted that?
I don't know. He's saying, you know, his assertion was that they didn't have enough evidence to force him to give up the passwords.
Oh, well, whoever issued the warrant disagreed. So, balanced the validity of the warrant and the evidence that was presented.
I guess, you know what I'm tired of is that every time one of these encryption password arguments comes up, it's always a fucking child porn case. Why can't we get it with like a tax dodger or something where, you know, you don't want to cut the guy's head off with a shovel? I mean,
because tax dodgers, they give up the password because you get to go to a minimum security prison and be released after a little while, and a bunch of mobsters give you high fives and ask, so, do you know how to fix my credit score? And the tax dodger probably says yes, and then gets a very lucrative side job when he finally gets out of prison helping mobsters fix their credit so they can go back to their criminal enterprises. If you're a kitty diddler, when you say, oh, I'm a kitty diddler, you get to go to prison and mobsters get to kill you with sporks. And the cops or the guards that would usually break up a prison fight is like, I bet $10 that it takes being stabbed 1,000 times with a spork for that fucker to die, and I think Bill's gonna stab him 1,000th time.
These are very specific stories, Madman.
I just love there's a fantastic soundbite in that, and I can't wait for next week to use it in the intro. If we think back to what Madman just said...
What did he say?
I'm not saying it, because then there'd be a soundbite of me saying it.
I really tried.
He was learning, dang it.
I thought about it.
I know what he said now, okay. But I don't think I want to pay that. Cutting out RU's ball cancel joke was funny. Sard going, no, Sard is hilarious.
I wouldn't
cutting
do
out
it.
Madman I... saying he you know, yeah. diddles the kids is... could be a death warrant given the part of the country we live in.
I'm just saying there's a soundbite there if anybody wants to change it to their cell phone ring.
Oh, for the next time we get together, Morrison Madman, I need that clip.
Coming up right after the show's posted, just to see Madman face fuck you. That, you know.
Well, especially like, you know, you're in front of his family and your phone goes. Be like, what? All
right, oh, he's on. Gonna kill all of you.
Yeah, probably.
I did buy a new gun. Did y'all get to see my new gun yet?
Are you taking him hunting maybe? After the show?
What do you got?
I haven't.
I forget what gun you bought.
The Taurus 738 ultralight.
I don't think I've seen.
Oh, y'all were there in the gun store when I was looking at it the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think you had bought it when I saw that. Huh, okay, cool.
But that's the reason why it's never a tax case, Morbs.
Yeah, okay, fair ball. But I wish the article would be about something other than a kitty diddler with these damn encryption cases, because it means every time it comes up, it's either terrorism or, you know... I don't even want to talk about it. It pisses me off so much.
No, but, man, that's the fear, isn't it? There's no fear in Joe Bloggs, you know, diverting $6 billion offshore in tax. There's no fear in the idea that so-and-so local councillor has spent X amount of money on cocaine and prostitutes, and the only evidence we have is in his phone, and he won't give it up. You know, where's the public fear in that? It's like, child molester, won't give up this, public menace, terrorist, killing your family with gerbils.
That got darker quickly.
Yeah, but, you know, gerbils are a weapon of mass destruction. Don't regret it. Report it.
I understand the sensationalism. I just...
Yeah, that's what it is. I think that's where Madman
it's
was
hard,
going
to
go down.
It's hard to make the philosophical argument that I hold that you should have some rights of privacy when every time the article comes up, that would mean defending a child molester.
No one wants to defend them, but they're still not guilty yet, are they? You may have a presumption of guilt, but they're not guilty yet.
That's very true. That is very true.
I mean, let's not get caught up in that circle jerk of that guy said you are, so you must be. Because that, let's face it, that's some of the laws being passed right now where the officer of the law doesn't have to catch you doing it. Some local Joe Blow can go, well, that guy over there said something derogatory towards me. I can't prove it, but trust me, I said that he said he did it, so therefore he must be guilty. Put him on the 6 o'clock news and derive him as the piece of shit he is. And then you've got
trial by public opinion. And
exactly, man. Like, this is the problem. You talk about a police state, a dystopian future. The pendulum has swung so far right now that trial by media is every day on the internet. Every day, people are being defamed because they made a comment. Like, I saw a guy yesterday got torn to bits and his family torn apart because he took a photo of a service animal and just tagged it on Facebook going, oh, look at the cute working dog. And then all these fucking PETA members got around and just ripped him a shred, doxed him, and posted shit all about him on the internet. You know, this guy interrupts service animals and is being a public nuisance by taking a photo of a service animal. That's how far it goes, man. Every fucking day.
All right. No, that's a fantastic point. It really is.
And sorry to bring down the lightheartedness that is the show.
So, speaking of lightheartedness, the next story is from CIO Dive. The House has passed the Email Privacy Act, 419-0. Nobody voted against this thing. Who was present? A brief from the Dive. The U.S. House of Representatives unanimously passed it on Wednesday. The law would require law enforcement agents, authorities, to get a search warrant before asking technology companies to hand over emails more than 180 days old. Interesting, you know, thing there.
Interesting amount of time. Why not all emails rather than 180 days? Is there something already protecting those?
Actually, yeah, there is something about the age of an email that once it hits a certain age, it's easier to get. I'm trying to remember what it is now. I used to know this. Currently, agencies only need a subpoena to seek such data from a service provider. That's what it was. If it was older than a certain amount on a service provider, they didn't need the warrant. But if they're going to get it from your house, like you're running POP3 email, not IMAP, don't ask has it in the chat room that they were considered abandoned after a certain length of time, because the way people have used the internet has changed radically. The Email Privacy Act would update the 1986 Electronic Communications Privacy Act that closes a loophole that allows governments to use a subpoena to get communications if they are more than 6 months old. The 1986 law was written before the advent of cloud computing. Senators Patrick Leahy, Patrick Leahy, Democrat Vermont, and Mike Lee are Utah. The authors of the Senate bill said the statement in the House, or in a statement that the House vote is a historic step towards updating our privacy laws to the digital age. Privacy advocates, blah blah blah. The bill's prospects in the Senate remain unclear because it's an election year. It's closing the Abandonment Act, the abandonment part of the old Privacy Act that. If you left them up there for so long, because that's not the way people used to use email. It used to be downloaded onto their personal computer, POP3, really. So,
the only way I see this failing in the Senate is if someone tacks on something stupid to it.
So, anyways, I just thought it was interesting that it passed unanimously. Usually there's one or two assholes who find something wrong with it and vote against it, but, just to make a point. But, next story up is from The Verge. Amazon has illegally billed parents around the U.S. for allowing their children to make in-app purchases without their knowledge or permission, a federal judge ruled on Tuesday. The judge decided in favor of the Federal Trade Commission, agreeing with its complaint that Amazon surprised consumers with charges because it failed to sufficiently inform them that games labeled free could later allow purchases to be made. The case will now continue as Amazon and FTC work out damages. The FTC is hoping to make Amazon fully refund the purchases made by children, stating starting from the launch of in-app purchases in November 2011 all the way to June of 2014, when Amazon finally added more thorough disclosures and prompts. Amazon did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Amazon has been receiving complaints about surprise in-app purchase billing prior to its changes in 2014. However, it hadn't warned customers of the existence of in-app purchases at all. It eventually began to present smaller notices and occasionally require a password, but the FTC argued that both were insufficient. Later on, Amazon began presenting a pop-up requiring authorization upon making a first in-app purchase. The FTC filed the case in Amazon in 2014, same year, settled with both Apple and Google over the same issue. So,
this be death to microtransactions? Is Candy Crush about to die?
I hope
No, they're just making it harder for the in-app purchases to be made by kids without parents' permission. But the thing is, I don't know that I agree with the FTC on this one. Yeah, I don't like microtransactions either. But if you set up a device and hand it to your kid, and kids, you know, assuming the kid is not like, you know, 17 or 16, somebody who's old enough to maybe understand what they're doing, you know, if you set up a tablet and hand it to a 5-year-old, and the 5-year-old's just tapping the buttons that make the screen do whatever, and they don't know they're spending money, isn't that kind of on you as the parent?
Yeah, you should know what your children are doing. Mm.
I can say this from experience. My daughter, she has a tablet, and we've downloaded apps that allow her to make in-app purchases. But guess what? The account has no credit card that's attached to that account. And guess what else? We typically turn off the Wi-Fi, so they can't send ads and spam stuff to her. So, you know.
Damn responsible parents.
You mean the magic picture box isn't the babysitter?
No.
Thank you, BSB. I think that's going to be the quote of the show right there. The magic picture box is not, in fact, the babysitter.
My wife sits me in front of the computer all day and tells me to be good.
Doesn't your wife know that that's the worst place to sit you if she wants you to be good?
Talk to me when you're on that thing.
Shut up. What she doesn't know can't hurt her. I'm not making in-app purchases, though. Not very often, anyway.
Just as what long she should do is say, are you? Build a retaining wall.
I'm trying to, but something's got to happen before that. And I would be outside otherwise. But then when I'm outside, things go wrong as well. Like neighborhood pets die.
That's only because somebody leaves antifreeze in the cup marked here, doggy.
Reminds me, build here, doggy cup.
All right, next story.
As long as she doesn't find out what steam is, I'm good.
Oh, okay, good. Steam is what happens when you heat up water.
Exactly.
So, this is from the Register. An open-source security firm has blocked a security researcher who reported flaws in a recently issued patch in apparent fit of Pike. Hector Martin took to Twitter on Tuesday to note a trivial crashing vulnerability in a recent issued patch by GR Security. So I guess first I should explain what some of this stuff is. GR Security is a set of independently developed patches to the Linux kernel that make Linux, they harden Linux. They make it a little bit more robust. They make it harder to do buffer overflows. And apparently they introduced a bug. And so Hector Martin posted on Twitter, I literally crashed my box by passing a bunch of text into a terminal due to a really sad bug in the patch, Martin said. And so the actual command he used was script /dev/null and then less than dev 0, which is literally he piped null to Dev Zero. And it crashed the kernel. And so he then goes in and he finds the source code in the patch and he shows some updates, and the updates have some snide comments and I'm like, try reading the code next time, and you know, yeah, typed out. So he goes in and suggests a fix. It's a little snarky, but he suggests a fix. And in response, GR Security acknowledged the issue, which they said they would fix on the next release. And at the same time, they blocked Martin on both Twitter and by IP address.
How dare you criticize us?
Yeah, basically. Their response was the proper fix, a.k.a. not yours, Mr. High Horse Captain Obvious. This is their official
really?
Company's Twitter. That's a.k.a. not yours, tweet? Mr. High Horse Captain Obvious, will be in the next patch, but good luck obtaining it. GR Security also blocked anyone who liked or retweeted Martin's tweet, a reaction that's unsurprisingly already spawned a lively discussion thread on Reddit. Developers said that a new patch was available, so top marks for reaction time. The new test patch up with improved protection against irrelevant InfoSec ankle biters, GR Security later tweeted. They blocked the guy by IP address, so he couldn't even go download the patches to test them.
He pointed out a flaw in how to fix it.
He was snarky about it. That's it. Welcome to the security community. Every single one of us are assholes.
Isn't that a pre-base level of being in the InfoSec community?
When I was going for my first certification, there was a test. You had to answer the questions correctly and with the appropriate amount of snark, or they laughed at you.
Yeah, you weren't allowed to take the courses. Wow.
You know, if you didn't already have a goatee, you had to threaten to grow one. I mean, it was right there.
And if you couldn't grow one in the first semester, you're out.
Basically, you know? Even the women.
And God, some of them looked very attractive. The curly mustache.
It's sad. It really is. Because you're starting to see the same, you know, oh, fuck you, I'm just going to block you. I mean, okay, yeah, the guy was snarky. So what? What are you,
I didn't
three?
Think he's. I didn't think he's sending that to him. You think he'd be thankful for someone actually doing work for you that you're getting paid for. Hey, I figured out this problem with your software. You guys want to do a fix on that? You know, hashtag not working for you. Maybe you should get paid for this. Not, you know. That's a dick move on the company.
On the bright side, he wasn't, or they didn't try to sue or imprison him for it.
That's actually a really good point.
That is an actual point.
I know, I was just thinking that is. Thank you, BSV. You've made me feel even worse now for that guy.
So I think BSV is going to get an award for the most insight on the show tonight.
Yeah. I think he's going to get plus two internets by the end of it.
Next story up is from dawn.com. In New Delhi, India has set up 8 laser walls along the shared border with Pakistan. Unfortunately, I doubt these are as awesome as I'm thinking. Laser walls.
Oh.
I'm thinking of, you know, shit out of like, you know, Terminator or something.
I hope they grabbed the microwave guns that we were crowd control overseas.
Oh.
They'll cook a man in less than a minute. And by
nothing
cook, I mean
like
completely
that.
Boil them alive and cook them.
A laser wall is a mechanism to detect objects passing the line of sight between the laser source and the detector. A laser beam overrides a river, or a laser beam over a river sets off a loud siren in case of a breach. The laser walls will cover stretches of treacherous terrain and ravine areas. So yeah, they're, you know, the little trip laser stores use to count how many people are coming in and out the door.
An alarm system. They stuck an alarm system.
So, but I mean, a laser wall. That sounds cool. Unfortunately, it's not as. Yeah. India plans to cover more than 40 vulnerable unfenced stretches along the Pakistan border with laser walls, giving the Home Ministry giving it a top priority to prevent any infiltration. Times of India said in an earlier report, quoting a Home Ministry official, "You know, with an elaborate set of mirrors on a rig, you could totally get around this." or maybe just a couple of lenses and some fiber optic cable.
I just want to release a bunch of animals.
Well, yeah, just set them off all the time so they start ignoring them. That's a good way to do it, too. Oh, if you knew what kind of laser they were using, you could just, you know, get a laser pointer from, you know, like, say, Wicked Lasers and just line it up, right, so that when you're breaking the initial beam, they don't know it. Yeah. Let's see, top priority. Laser walls will be monitored by the BSF, the report said. India steps up efforts to secure the border in the wake of attack on the Pankrok airbase, which India alleged was stolen by terrorists who crossed over from Pakistan. The suspected infiltration point of the Ouse River in Baimal, which India alleged was used by six Jaish-e-Mohammed terrorists, who... Jaish? J-A-I-S-H. I have no idea how to actually say that. Jaish? Jaish-e-Mohammed terrorists to attack the airbase was not covered by a laser. BSF covered this stretch by putting up a laser wall before Prime Minister Narendra Modi's I'm really bad at these names, visit to the airbase on January 9th. So, kind of a fun concept. Kind of not really a deterrent, I guess, but... And yeah, don't ask us right there in the chat room. Just dig a hole under it.
Microwave gun. Microwave cannons up.
Wouldn't that be awesome? You have the Madman style laser fence using the microwave guns, because then, you know, bird flies across it and, you know, there's just cooked bird on the ground.
That would stop me having a moment I just had then. Knock at the door. I peek around, open the curtain up, to see two men in black suits standing there. The iPoopMyself.exe file opens up, and turns out Mormons really need to change their dress style. <I'm> scared.
Hey, speaking of the iPoopMyself, that's that article you sent me from abc.net.au. Getting caught short without a toilet in sight might be a thing of the past, thanks to a device that has been developed in Japan.
They didn't realize this was such a big thing.
The wearable device named D-Free. D-Free.
Defecate.
Where did they come up with this shit?
Poop app. Yeah. Oh, God, no. This was not something that needed to be invented.
The wearable device named D-Free is smaller than a box of matches, and it uses ultrasound to monitor bowel movements by sending the user a text message when it's time to go.
My butt tells me when it's time to go. It's like, oh, you need to shit. Like, oh, I need to shit. I don't need my cell phone to back up my ass.
The device's creator, Atsushi Nakatashi, said that as well as personal use, he hopes it will benefit the aging population to cut down on adult nappy costs and preserve their dignity. Mr. Nakatashi said the idea first came to him 2 years ago when he was walking down the street carrying heavy luggage and there was no toilet in sight. I pooped in my pants. It was very embarrassing, Mr. Nakatashi said. I don't know why he has that voice, but he does.
Wow.
I can't even finish the damn article. He was a university student at the time, and the accident made him wonder whether he could develop an early warning system to prevent it from ever happening again.
How much sake do you have to drink the night before you don't realize you're about to crap yourself?
The device uses ultrasonic waves to track the movements in the bowel. I came up with the idea of using ultrasound, Mr. Nakatashi. I gotta stop with the voice. Mr. Nakatashi said, if it can see a tiny baby inside a mother, it must be able to keep track of poo.
Baby poo.
That all the device. The device looks like a small cake of soap and is made from plastic and can be either stuck to the skin under the belly button or it can be worn in a pocket on custom designed underpants. So you have this weird little square sticking out through your shirt.
What's that?
What's that for? That's so I don't shit my pants.
Wow.
You know how I don't shit my pants? I poop in the potty.
You followed the training video from India, then?
Yes, you poo in the loo? That's a fucking amazing video. It should be played everywhere.
I am so glad they spent the money making that, because before that, I was just crapping my pants every day. Fuck, there's a soundbite. fuck.
So here's the real question. How long before employers are requiring people to wear this? And it's like, so, according to the Keeping Track of the Poo app, you only had to take a shit twice today, yet we see 5 bathroom breaks on your schedule. Therefore, we're going to have to dock your pay.
Dude, if I was a company owner, right, and this is like a parallel universe far, far away, I would actually, one weekend, just replace all the bathroom stalls and make them Faraday cages. Fuck with my employees, man. That would cut down the unnecessary bathroom breaks.
I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah. Like, everyone knows my stance on phones and shit like that. And, yeah, fuck it, man. You should not be taking your phone to the shitter.
Like, yeah, let's face it. Where did you find this link?
D-free can now be sold on myshreddies.com. What? The flatulent filtering underwear.
Oh, wow.
Okay, well, we'll just put that link next to that in this. Good God, some of the pictures on this website.
I know. Yeah, how right? If these are stock images, I'm worried about the people taking these photos. How is he shooting purple shit out his ass? Look down there, the like the purple superhero character thing with the. Oh, it's a video. I'm clicking.
Me too.
Okay, well, while the you guys do that, show. I'm going to read this article Static sent me earlier. So Blizzard has responded to all the people upset with them for shutting down the private server we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Nostralis.
Earlier Holy this fuck month, these are expensive.
And things wow. are going down okay, in the quite background, fast.
In the background, there's like this old boombox and a PS3. And this is flatulence, man, is it? His purple pants, green cape. Okay, he's squeezing into the flatulence pants now.
Madman,
that's
I think
not a superhero.
He's not
Madman,
well
I think
endowed.
The show has just gone right down the poop chute.
Now I'm buffering. Fuck my shit, internet.
Okay. Earlier this month, Blizzard issued a cease and desist to operators of a pirate vanilla World of Warcraft server called Nostralis. The group and its community argued that they should have a right to play how they want. And the further fervor may even have caused an aggressive DDoS attack that took down all of Blizzard games shortly thereafter. Copyright in the United States is a tricky thing. It offers protection to people who create original content and ultimately serves as a way to ensure that someone who creates gets to monetize their work. But it comes at a cost. It's up to every copyright holder and intellectual property owner to guard their walls. If the government hands you a shield by granting trademark and copyright protection, you must pick it up. If you do not hoist it and in turn willingly let your properly be assailed, you may be forfeiting your right to defend it later. That is the reason Blizzard gave when finally commenting on the matter publicly. Why not just let Nostralis continue the way it was, writes World of Warcraft executive producer J. Allen Brack. The honest answer is failure to protect against intellectual property infringement would damage Blizzard's rights. This applies to anything that uses WoW's IP, including unofficial servers, and while we've looked into the possibility, there's not a clear legal path to protect Blizzard's IP and grant an operating license to a private server. Bullshit. They could come up with a way to do that. But
they just want to make money.
Here's the kicker. World of Warcraft's IP is not that fucking original. It's derivative of Tolkien and it's derivative of Warhammer.
Oh, he's sniffing his ass. He just farted. Oh my god. Oh, fuck, I saw we didn't have a way to buffer. Oh, how do you apply for, how do you get an actor that can fart on command?
I expose people to magic.
Clearly.
And we smoke weed every day.
Oh, hang
fuck
on.
You, analog. I don't fucking link shit anymore. At least the people on my trial will have to watch that.
I didn't make you click on the video. I just sent you the website.
Wow, it started buffering just before the dude put his face to the guy's ass and farted. And he's like, wow, I can't smell anything.
Truth bomb alert.
Anyway.
some kind of a bomb alert anyways.
Back to Warcraft.
I think they might have an argument that the game they set up no longer existed. Because you can't play Vanilla WoW. So could they argue that they purchased a game to play it? Like, they just wanted to play the Vanilla WoW. They bought
that. Yeah, you had to buy the original WoW. You're right.
Yep.
So the game that I purchased, you ceased to allow exist. I then put it back up. You gave up your intellectual property when you stopped supporting it, the product that I actually paid for.
God, I wish copyright actually worked that way. That would make abandonware sites so much better. Although, speaking of, we'll get there. So anyways, though, I mean, I don't feel like World of Warcraft's IP is unique enough, really. You could argue their implementation of the game is, but I mean,
it's just a copy of Diablo. Multiplayer Diablo.
Blizzard owns Diablo.
Yeah, but they already came up with the idea. And where did Diablo came from?
Came from Diablo was a NetHack copy. But
no.
Whatever.
I think it's too broad a genre to be able to claim complete copyright. I mean, yes, on a current functioning version of the game, yes, copyright, but something you abandon and aren't using anymore. The community responded in the right way, let's just say that.
All right, let's move on to this. Yo! Oh,
yes. Hadouken! Smoke weed every day.
I still won't get over that being on this show.
So, the first item I have for Digital Dungeon today, actually I have three links, but two of them are kind of the same thing. So this is FileChief.com. FileChief is not a search engine, really. It's a search structure tool. It's written in JavaScript, so I'm pretty sure you could just download it and run your own copy of it, which might not be a bad idea, because I bet the thing's going to get yanked at some point. But or you can just look at the source code and see what it actually does. So when you get it, you get a very simple page. It says FileChief on it. Get direct download links for almost anything. And then there's a little drop-down. Pick your file type. Images, software, music, books, TV, other. Then you punch in something. And they suggest Lost Season 1. Or earlier, I just for fun punched in Deadpool. Had all kinds of results. RU had even more fun with it.
Yeah. .gov.au.
This thing basically is a automatic Google Dorker for files. It structures the query such that you are most likely to get web servers and NASs that people probably don't realize what they're hosting. And there is tons of shit out there.
There is. I've been having a lot of fun. And we'll continue. And I'm pretty sick of Google asking me if I'm a human after every fucking search now. What would previously take a good half hour to define your search terms is now just directly as a web page. That's what I'm looking at, man. I'm more to tell you how much fun I had with this in the first 10 minutes.
Okay. This is the link I thought I fucked over my show with, because it's like, well, everybody's going to be messing with that for the rest of the night instead of actually doing...
I'm still messing with it. I am looking at ways of using it better. It's definitely one for anyone out there who's studying or anything like that, or is just interested in general local politics and things like that. If you're a pirate for movies and things... Probably better websites that you know already than actually just skipping through this. But definitely a must-have tool if you're a very bored person on a Thursday morning.
Well, Static, you were having some fun with it earlier, too.
Yeah. it definitely will return results when you don't actually mean for it to return some results as well. So be careful.
Yeah,
we were having more fun finding some poor sap's random file server, you know, and it happened to have a movie or a book or something in it, and then just going through and exploring everything that got posted, and it's just like, holy shit, that's their SQL Server backups, that's, you know, their Windows keys, that's, I mean, it's like these people cannot realize what they have shared publicly.
I'm pretty sure that the government is completely inept right now in running its service.
I honestly think mostly this is things like Synology, NASs, or those WD MyBooks. These are things that people don't realize they're hosting.
Yeah. I found stuff that's blowing my mind that, you know, print screen, save that, send to someone I know. Yeah, it's a great dude, man. I'm thankful for it. As I said, I'm harder than a honeymooner's dick right now. Just crawling through some of these directories.
Always great fun. Always happy to provide. You know, it's great when, you know, normally a lot of my Digital Dojo falls flat on the people on the show. When I have one like that and everybody just loses it, that's just fun. So, next one up is from archive.org, of all things. It's the Internet Arcade. They, on archive.org, have a whole bunch of old classic abandonware games, mostly DOS, but they've got some other stuff, you know, Atari, looks like maybe some C64. But anyways, they've got these emulators on the website, I think like in Java or JavaScript, and it's like DOSBox in the web browser. And so the second link here, so the first one is archive.org/details/internetarcade. The second one, and the one I actually like a lot better, is archive.org/details/software-library_ms_DOS_games. And they've got a little over 3,400 DOS games that run in the browser on DOSBox. Now, you can't save anything, but, I mean, you got Bust a Move, you got One Must Fall, you've got Doom or the Road Trail. They have Oregon Trail. Them Ant, I mean, Load Runner,
Pac-Man,
Tetris, Cover Girl, Strip Poker. I'm just scrolling through the list.
My favorite,
Street Fighter 2. Got, probably play Street Fighter 2 in DOSBox.
Yeah, if there was a DOS port of it, probably. It may not be the same game that's on the NES though, or SNES, I should say. Big Business, Neuromancer. SimCity Classic.
Fantastic way to kill a day.
The original Elite. So, yeah, there's all kinds of great stuff on here. If you've got an older machine and you just want something to play, this will run in the web browser. If you've got just, you need to kill some time and you don't feel like installing anything. Suburban Commando with looks like Hulk Hogan is the box art there.
Wow.
What else we got? Jazz Jackrabbit. That was yeah, I was right back in my, you know, childhood playing on an old Dell 486. 486 with 4 megs of RAM, man. Some of this shit. The original Mech Warriors on here. Barbie Supermodel. Okay, maybe not that one. But anyways, that's a mixed up mother goose.
Well, is that about a transgender goose, is it?
I you know, it's hard to say this anymore. Oh, the original Hexagon. Yes, I used to hate that game because the computer cheats. and the original Microsoft Flight Simulator. So anyways, That's all I got. Anybody
that's
have anything?
That's terrible. I want to point out, in the original Microsoft Flight Simulator, you can still fly into towers.
That's the same thought I just had, Madman. Get out of my head.
Bomb alert.
Terrible people, are you? You're terrible people.
I am.
That's all I got. Does anybody have anything before we close this shit out?
Not really.
Nope.
Smoke weed every day.
Every day.